everybody. I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast, where we give you insights into post-traumatic stress, trauma recovery, healing, and beyond. I'm Dr. Deb Lind, and in each episode, I have a conversation with a guest who will stimulate your mind, touch your heart, and connect with your spirit, and also give you a greater understanding of yourself and others on this healing and recovery journey walked by so many of us before, wounded healers with lived experience and heroes. Hopefully, we'll also provide a glimpse into possibilities and purpose, hope, and inspiration. Thanks for listening and enjoy the podcast. One last thing, guys, before we dive into today's episode, if you'd like an ad-free experience and like early access to new episodes and special events, I want to let you know you can join us at patreon.com. That is patreon.com/PTSD and beyond. All right, let's do it. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond. And guess what? Guess who's with us today? Oh, my gosh, you guys are going to be like, oh, this is fantastic and wonderful. So we've got our co-moderator and host at PTSD and Beyond, the chat that happens every Monday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Let's give a drum roll to Victor. Victor, thank you so much for joining back. Victor Moscone. Got to put your last name in there. Yeah, good to be here. Good to see you again.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here. I always love being back here.
Telling you, we've got like a good vibe going on. You know, people are showing up and they're enjoying themselves and engaging, and we're expanding. And again, the party doesn't end, right?
Oh, no. It goes for an hour, and yet the two of us are back there just responding for like another 2 hours easily afterwards, just because of all the interaction and all the responses and comments that everybody else has put in. It's like, there's no way to keep up with it. So it's easily going to take 2 more hours to just kind of finish it off and continue just, you know, expanding on it. So it's good though.
Exactly. We take a break. We tell each other, okay, I'm going to come back after we eat. Right. And then we come back and there were over 110 responses in my notification box.
Wow. It,
because it'll tell me like 20 plus, and then I can actually go in and see there were 110 plus. And I was on the phone with Mary, and we were just like, what? So I said, I got to go get something to eat and come back. And then you and I are up till, you know, midnight central, which is 1 a.m. Eastern, which is 6 o'clock in the morning, UK time. And then that is like 10 o'clock your time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the party doesn't end. And then of course, today we're going to talk about what we talked about on our chat, which is stress awareness.
Yes. Yes. Good topic too. It was great because we had new people come in adding to the comments. We had a lot of great responses in regards to this. So it was really good.
What was one of the things that you found surprising? I mean, there was one thing that I thought that was, and I put it out there just as a, you know, it was a, not an afterthought, but it was a mid thought, a mid chat thought, but it was one of the things that was surprising to you about the chat about stress awareness.
I think one of the things for me that I found surprising was just how everybody, from what I was seeing, they were all very open to responding on how stress is basically has changed. You know, where it's not stress as we've known it, but because of the pandemic, because of all the different aspects with health and job aspects, there's been a big shift. And it was really surprising to me just to see the number of people responding that way. I figured out we would get some, but just the numbers that were saying, oh no, it's totally changed. You know, people have noticed more about the quality of life.
Yeah. I agree
and I was
with that.
I was really surprised just on seeing that pop up on several different comments and in different ways. I was like, oh wow, this is really cool that it's like that's a very core focus for everybody at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was one of the things that I saw too. And what's surprising about
about that experience that we had at the chat is, you know, Inc. magazine, for example, will post articles about the Great Recession. For a former guest that we had, Philip Kane, had said, made a comment about that the Great Resignation is the Great Reckoning. Until organizations have a reckoning with the way that business has been done, the way that things have been done, culture, leadership, covert processes, unresolved issues, invalidating and the lack of appreciation of people in organizations, then the Great Resignation is really the Great Reckoning. And in addition to Inc. magazine or Harvard Business Review, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, I mean, even training and development associations, SHRM, Society for Human Resource Management, and globally too, because we have people all over the world who listen to the podcast and then attend the chat. So there are even comments about, say, there's a SHRM group, a human resource group in India that has recently gotten together to talk about specifically the resignations within, you know, in companies in India. And so when we read those articles, it really comes to life when you're hearing these responses or in hearing responses that validate what we're reading. Because sometimes you can read an article and you can think, well, you know what? How much truth is there really here? What's the population? Who are they actually referring to? And we can say with our community group, to what you're saying is that is what we saw. Yes. We saw people saying, you know what? I decided enough is enough, no more. I thought one person's comment about how they simplified their life. Did you see the person who actually has the van? That she travels in the van now, and she had this picture of her dog. She's in California. I thought that was so cool. I was like, oh my gosh. So you actually did the van life.
Definitely. That's something that was really interesting, just because with everything going on, it's like, basically just jettisoned everything else, streamlined us down to the essentials and what was truly valuable to them and important, and went.
Yep. People making all kinds of changes, whether it's relationships, you know, establishing boundaries, getting back into things that they missed doing. There was one gal who showed her artwork, her painting, and those actions, getting back to, and I want to say this because people with trauma, a common comment is, am I ever going to get myself back again? And I've actually said that, you know, am I ever going to get the old Deb back? There are things about the old Deb that I miss. And am I ever going to see those things again? And people have, you know, similar thoughts and comments. And so when we do see, hey, the pandemic was a pause and I reevaluated and, you know, then I'm getting these things back. And I want to pause for a second too, because it's not a get back to, it is a reconnection with.
There you go. I'll go with that. Yes.
It's a reconnection with. And the other thing that I thought was really surprising was the poll that was put out. Is it stressful to talk about stress?
Oh, yes.
So we probably should let people know that are listening to the podcast. Please don't get stressed. If you find yourself getting stressed listening to the podcast about stress awareness, do what you need to do for self-care. I thought, and that it was, yes. Everybody who responded, 100% of people said, yes, it's stressful to talk about stress.
But it's true though. Cause even when I saw the poll and I responded to it saying yes, it's, when you start talking about it or even see it, it starts bringing to light all the stress that you're experiencing. Even if you're not connected to it at that moment, all of a sudden you see that word and it resonated with me, where I start going through quickly just the different aspects of stress that I'm carrying and experiencing. And yes, easily, it's like I could already start to feel some anxiety and tension build up quickly. And it was like, okay, wait, this is just a poll. It's not something I'm doing stressful yet. That one word and then understanding what it encompasses really is powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is powerful, isn't it? And we did have a participant ask the question and make the position that, well, isn't stress something that gives us the added edge? And there is research to show that, yes, back in the day, so I'm talking like in the 1970s, the 1980s, the argument was some stress is good stress, right? So there's due stress and ooh stress. Mm-hmm. And ooh stress is the one that, ooh, that gives us, you know, our added edge. Unfortunately, the way that life is today, not the world, but life, right, the way that life is, and then when people talk about resilient, oh, we just need to be resilient. We need to be resilient. How can we be resilient when we are continuously bombarded with continuous stressors and continuous mm-hmm. elevations of layers of trauma? How do we do that? Where is the space to come back and bounce back? Because resilience means turn back to a state of normal, right? A state of calmness, a state of balance, back mm-hmm. to the state of the original. We don't get that opportunity because there's all of these chronic stressors, as well as these inflammatory trauma and the chronic trauma, right? The continuous mm-hmm. traumas of life and of the world. You know, we thought that the pandemic was traumatic. Now look what we have over in Ukraine.
Right.
Right. And so I asked myself, and maybe I should stop asking this question, because sometimes I ask the question, okay, so what's next? How much worse?
Oh yeah, I don't ask that.
You know, I'm not going to do that anymore. Okay, so I'm putting it out there. I'm going to stop doing that because I don't want to know that. I don't want to see that next level. You know, there's also this phrase: "Well, you can't predict, you can't prepare." Well, how do you how do you prepare for something like what's happening in Ukraine? How do you prepare for something like that? You know, we're watching it. And then yet there are people who are saying, oh, my life is so stressed because I have to pay for gas. It's like, what? Where's the talk about awareness, right?
Right.
So we originally started talking about how stress was used as an added edge. Then I went off on a tangent here about the chronic stressors. It's just not the way that it used to be.
It's not. And as we were talking just a few moments before we started doing this, we had and kind of talked about how, yes, that added edge can be there with certain circumstances or situations, but it's not the same as it used to be at all, because there's so much more, I'm just going to call it negative stress, where mm-hmm. it's this constantly wearing on us, whether it's the pandemic, whether it's the economy, whether it's the war in Ukraine. But even those aren't the only aspects. We've got other aspects that, you know, connecting with politics that are constantly taking, an effect on us. It's just aspects of what we're doing for our daily life, you know, in regards to jobs. We were talking about how, you know, people just kind of, you know, streamline their life. And in some cases, you can look at that and go, wow, that's a really great thing to do. But you also have the other aspect of it going, okay, well, because of the way the economy is, are you financially okay to do so? Can you maintain it for a long period of time? And if not, what are you going to do next? Or how are you going to maintain it? And that adds another layer of stress where you end up having to go through and thinking about that. And it's not just, okay, I've got this stress, and then next week I'll have a different stress. It's just constantly being layered on top of each other. And as somebody else mentioned in the chat, when we were talking about that and we kind of jumping ahead, it's like, well, how do you kind of deal with some of that stress? Or no, I think the question was, what are kind of like barriers to taking care of your stress?
Right.
And somebody said time. It's like, I don't have time. It's like, how am I supposed to do it when I'm supposed to be working a job, maybe two jobs, and taking care of a family and looking out for finances and trying to take care of these other things that are going on? And you have, of course, these other stressors that, nope, you don't have control over, but they are definitely impacting your life. And it's like, okay, where's the time for you to de-stress?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I agree with that completely too. And so the argument, or an argument that somebody could say to the time factor, is, well, you just need to make time. When everything is a high priority, and then somebody else might argue and say, well, everything can't be a high priority. You need to reprioritize and reevaluate. it's not that simple. I look at the solutions to addressing stress the same way when a person will meet with a dietitian and they say, well, you need to eat better or you need a menu plan. Okay, that tells me what I need to do, but it doesn't teach me how to do it. Sure. It doesn't show me ways that it could look. Mm-hmm. And what I find, it goes back to that old adage, you know, if you show a person how to fish, you teach someone how to fish, they're never going to go hungry, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of what to do out there and very little how to do. So with our chat, what I really appreciate about how we educate and present information is we always listen to what our community members are saying in the moment. And then we share some of the how-tos. And what I liked about the conversation too that we had was if you notice that people were talking with one another about, you know, these are some challenges that I had. And then they were sharing like that. There was one gal who said that she literally took a pause for, you know, I can't remember how many weeks she said, but she had to reflect and ask herself, what is it that really matters? Yes. And then from that answer and those answers, then she went back and created a plan and mm-hmm. she shared her plan, which was really great because mm-hmm. then it gives somebody else that information and that starting point of, okay, this is what it can look like. And this is how someone did it. And maybe I can adopt some of those things and mm-hmm. I can adapt some of these other things and I can try something that might work for me.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Deb. Thank you so much for being here today and listening to the PTSD and Beyond podcast. To learn more about our workshops, keynotes, as well as individual coaching, give us a shout out at Dr. Deb at PTSDandBeyond.org.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the things I really like about the group. And even with this past week, on how many people were not just commenting off of the question and then moving on, they were definitely feeding off of other people's responses and comments and having conversations and interactions that were building onto it. And yes, going off of what they were sharing and experiences. And it was really a lot of teachable moments on just people, you know, hey, this is what worked for me. This is what I had to do. And you could see other people were like, ooh, I hadn't thought about that. I like that idea. And it was giving them ideas and new possibilities for what they might be able to do for their own life and taking care of their own possible stressors.
Yep. I can say from my own experience that people have when you go to the experts, right? You ask the right question of the right person, but you're not getting the right solution. So what I mean by that is if I needed time management, I'm going to a time management coach or time, you know, person who's say at an executive level. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you probably have great time management skills. So how would you do this? What are some suggestions? And for me, what I've had to learn is to not have so many expectations on myself to get it all done. That's okay if some things are paused. It's okay. And if somebody judges me on, you know, maybe I didn't clean my house this week. Well, you want to pull up some stuff and help me, honey? Then we can get it done every week. But I laugh and say that in jest because there's that internal dialogue that goes to what we're going to talk about next week, which is imposter syndrome.
Right.
As a subject matter expert, which is you, the guru. And I'm grateful that you're going to come on and do that with us. So people that are listening to our podcast today, you're going to want to tune into next week because Victor is going to talk about imposter syndrome. And if you'd love to join us on Monday on Twitter, use the hashtag PTSD and Beyond, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Just click latest and follow the discussion because this coming Monday, which is the 18th of April, that is what our topic is. And Victor is going to be leading that discussion, linking it back to stress. Imposter syndrome is a stressor.
Oh, yes.
And again, you mentioned about the way that our group all has always worked is that people will share something. And then there are these smaller conversations that emerge out of the original question, which I think is a beautiful thing.
Oh, it is. Oh, it definitely is. I love that. I love the fact that people were building on to discussions and conversations and responding and giving support. And it besides bringing that community aspect, it also helps to show a lot of people could see that they weren't alone. They've kind of come into it thinking, okay, this is just me. You know, the topic is something that I relate to, but everything that I'm going through is me. And then they start realizing that there's bits and pieces that are connected to all kinds of everybody that's here in different ways. And they're realizing, oh, it's not just me. I feel really good to know that I'm going through this and others are as well. And they can relate to what I'm having to deal with and work through. So it's really good. It definitely is. But going back to your other comment as well about, you know, when you were talking about, you know, not cleaning your house for, you know, the week because of everything else that's going on. Well, that's something I've had to come to accept as well, is again, trying to find that balance and realizing that as much as I want to succeed in what I'm doing and complete what I'm doing, I also need to realize I can only do so much. And there are some times where I have to take a break from something. Working on my dissertation right now, there has been times where I haven't hit it every single day and I've not worked on it for 3 or 4 days. Does it mean that I don't want to? No, I very much do, but there's other things that I know I should take care of. Does that mean that I'm pushing off my dissertation so it's going to take me longer? No, because I have a general time frame and I'm still kind of working within that general time frame. So I'm okay with it. But at the same time, I have some other things that I've got to take care of too. And it's a matter of just balancing it out. But I've had to come to grips to knowing that really and realizing that, okay, you know what? It's totally okay that I'm not doing this right now because I'm going to get to it again in the next day, or I've got a plan for it. And that's one thing that's helped to kind of relieve and calm down some of my stress. So I don't have those imposter feelings of like, I'm not doing enough. I'm not getting enough done. I'm not good enough to get this done.
Right.
But it's a constant work in progress.
Yep. It is a constant work in progress. I think that's one of the key things that people have developed the awareness as well as the camaraderie, if you will, is that it is a work in progress. It's a continuous work in progress. And the level of support that people provided to others, as well as reciprocated, was really special on Monday. What I'm curious to know about too, I mean, my dissertation, I'm looking here, let's see, where's my thing at? 2013. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in 2013, I got an award for my dissertation research, which looked at employee stress, stress in the workplace. And oh my God, it's going to be 10 years next year. holy buckets, I just realized that. So that's been all that time. What's changed in the workplace for employers to acknowledge, address, resolve workplace stress as well as employee stress? So what might stress one person out doesn't stress somebody else out.
Right.
And at the same time, there are stressors in the workplace. There's timelines, there's regulations, there's projects, there's finance, there's all of these different elements that make up an organization. People, systems, lack of systems.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what do you think is going to be or could be the, I don't want to say deciding factor, but a catalyst to move organizations to become more healthy? I mean, even back then in 2013, I presented at the Academy of Management, as well as the American Psychological Association, two different national presentations specifically on workplace stress. Where are we at? Why does it have to get bad before it gets good, before it can get good and healthy?
I find that many organizations and leaderships within organizations, they focus on the main goal. They focus on the end product. They focus on even their profits because that's part of the viability of their organization. And what they don't focus on are the people, the well-being, the health, mental, physical well-being and health of the people that are working within that organization, that are the essence of that organization. What they often seem to kind of look at them in that, in this perspective, is that, oh, well, they're there and they're there to do the job, to help us be profitable, to complete the projects that we need. Looking at them more as like a piece or part of just the overall process, without thinking of them as the true essence and energy of what is going on. You can't actually get to that goal without them. And instead of looking at it as like, okay, well, for us to reach our goal, whether it's a product or financial aspects, we need to make sure that the people that are getting us there are going to be as healthy as possible, will have the resources that they need to maintain their mental and physical health, to maintain their opportunities and productivity of what they need. So we want to actually invest in them.
Yeah.
And instead, they look at everything else that they want to invest in. But we want to invest in these different aspects that will help us to become more profitable.
Yep.
And the people will just fill in the blanks and get it done because that's what they need to do. And with everything that's gone on, especially with the pandemic and people leaving their job, people saying, part of it was, yes, remote work. But then people were like, yeah, you know what? I'm not doing this. And they realized, whoa, the people, if we don't have the people, we're not getting our product done. We're not getting our jobs done. We're not reaching our goal. And that's just it. It became, even though there had been talk about this before, long before, it did take a huge event to actually have many organizations wake up and recognize it and realize, oh yeah, this wasn't just wording. This is actual, true and impactful. And the people are the ones that we should be paying attention to.
Yep. I just wrote down a thought here. So profits don't sustain a company. People are what sustains an organization.
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
And we can see that there are some organizations that were noted once as being top employers to work for that are, I'm laughing, it's really not funny, but the irony there, I can't help but chuckle, is they're having a difficult time with retention. With recruiting and retention. Now, on the flip side, I do have compassion for some organizations that chose to be proactive and pioneering workplace wellness. Why I have this feel of I feel kind of bad for them is because there's been a skepticism, not all, but there has been skepticism with employees to say, why are you offering this to me? Are you offering this to me because you just want me to be here longer? Or were the conveniences to provide support tools, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, was that genuine? Was that for the genuine concern of me, or was that more the genuine concern of you? So there are trust and trust challenges with relationships between employee and employer. And now the other thing I want to mention is that an organization is not a person. People make up a company.
Right.
And yet organizations have this personhood thing. Mm-hmm. Well, they're not on a life support system. I mean, I have very strong biases about the acceptance of personhood with organizations. Anyway, we can go off on a tangent on that. But my point of the matter is that I do want to give a shout out and a recognition to organizations and leaders that have been and that continue to be and or that have decided to be part of that bus of providing and changing the culture and the way that work is done to support overall wellness and concern and compassion and investment in employees, not because you have to, but because you want to. So if you are an organization or you're a leader in a company and your company is doing these things, guess what? We want to have you on and we want to talk to you and give you guys some shout outs, give you guys a platform and a time to talk about the great things that you're doing. And if you're doing that, drop us a line at info@ptsdandbeyond.org. Somebody in our team will go ahead and get back with you and we'll schedule you on. We'd love to have you. Victor, any other last minute thoughts while we're wrapping up here? You are going to be segueing into your imposter syndrome. So is there a good lead in that we can conclude the stress awareness podcast and kind of give a lead in into the imposter syndrome. I feel like we need to have some Mission Impossible music. I got to get one of those things where I can do the sound effects. I want to get one of those. True. And if anybody's out there and they want to go ahead and donate one to our aspiring nonprofit, that would be great. Be awesome. We'll give you like an ad spot every week.
There you go.
You reach us at info@ptsdandbeyond.org. And then if that happens, holy buckets, we'll definitely get back on quickly.
Oh yeah. Okay. So for ending with the stress awareness and leading into imposter syndrome, I think one of the takeaways that I got from our stress awareness talk was the people that had learned to become more aware of their stress were then looking at different things that were helping them, different stress relievers that they knew would be beneficial to them. And several people were presenting a variety of different things that they do and that have worked for them. And it was wonderful to see all the different different ways people were actually helping to relieve their own stress. And it wasn't, you know, just the same thing over and over, but different ways of doing it and different things that connected with them. And when we kind of connect into that with imposter syndrome, it really is that individual aspect where we'll talk more about this next week, but it's you getting in touch with what's going to work for you. What is the best thing for you as an individual, as opposed to connecting in with what everybody else is doing and how I should be like everybody else. It's really what's going to work best for you and how can you best really kind of embrace your own qualities and your own abilities to let those shine through, just as you would do so if you're working on stress. Well, what is going to work best for you when you're relieving your own stress? So that's kind of how I kind of would see the connections and kind of really see those individual aspects that are going to be the best thing for you to do.
I love that. I love that. And the reason why I love it is because while we can look at collectively as a group and share as a group what works, each person brings value of elements to the group, right? At the end of the day, we look at and say, how do these work for me? And something might not work for a person today. It could mean that later it will work for them.
Oh, yes.
And that's one of the values of peer support that we provide, is that community sharing, as well as the deeper level of awareness of how does this then, what is this making me feel, right? And that links back to next week's topic, which is imposter syndrome. How does imposter syndrome amplify my stress and stressors? Yes. We'll leave that question to everybody out there. If you got some comments and some thoughts on that, again, drop us a line. Go ahead and attend the chat on Monday night. Victor, again, thank you so much for being here together. It was wonderful as always.
Thank you. Thank you. Always enjoy it.
Okay, you guys, this is Dr. Deb and Victor, who's going to be Dr. Victor soon.
I know.
That'll be a big party. I know, won't it? It'll be Doctor.
I know.
Just like the Three Stooges, Doctor. Yes. Doctor. We'll get us all on. Then it'll be like, holy buckets. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Again, you guys, thanks again for being here today. And we will reconnect again next week. And you guys make it a good one, eh?